Hey, good morning, Dr. Jill.
Good morning, Lee. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. So today we're going to tackle, as part of our ongoing series about metabolism and health, a topic that's a little bit more sensitive, and that is obesity. And it's challenging because there, you know, our population has, is the number of people who are obese continues to increase, or who experience obesity, and it's very often very stigmatized. Where do you want to start?
I think, you know, when we think about obesity and overweight is a really important topic because of health-related concerns. But we'll also get into, I mean, basically going back to last week, we know that people can be really thin and unhealthy and have a fatty liver and all of those things. So, but obesity is on the rise in our country. It is all over the world and is projected to continue to increase. And I think the really important thing is like, yes, we need to acknowledge this, but we also need to start, I mean, we just have to come up with ways to approach it and how to deal with it.
Right.
And I think that's the bigger problem.
Right. And addressing it as a system and as an environment we create, as well as not just blaming the individual who's experiencing obesity. I mean, I was just reading an article of like talking about as it's a disease. So someone has obesity or they have diabetes. You don't say, so taking a little bit of a blame out of the language in itself, I think, helps.
I totally agree. You know, and I think just like everything, when I think about things through a functional medicine lens, any diagnosis to me isn't an end point, it's a starting point.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we have a diagnosis, now we can start to go, why this? Why
mm-hmm.
is this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we can start to break down things as to why is this a problem? And there can be many things. It can certainly be food and food choices. That is going to play a role to some extent. It can be related to movement. It can be related to poor sleep. There could be other underlying, you know, factors, trauma in somebody's history.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, there are things that I think that people sometimes don't even recognize that might be underlying something when it comes to things like obesity and being overweight. And so it really needs to be a conversation point and a start, but it really needs to be an investigation between any medical provider and their patient.
Right. And recognizing that obesity is not a healthy state for the body to be in, how can the provider help that individual, that patient, move towards something that's more healthy, whatever that might be, and whatever reasons that are causing them to experience that disease?
Right, right. And we talked a little bit also last week about fat distribution. So certainly if somebody's overweight, there's ways to look at and think about fat distribution. And then looking at labs, you know, to kind of go, oh, okay, wait a minute, looks like there's some underlying metabolic issues here. But that is not the case for every person that's overweight, especially not in the beginning necessarily. I mean, it may, in the end, we may end up all lumped in a group. But there is a time period where I certainly see, as we have spoken before, like I can see very normal weight people with diabetes and metabolic issues, and I can see overweight or obese people that don't appear to have those underlying metabolic issues.
Right.
So I've got to start looking at hormones, other endocrine things. You know, there's just something else is going on. Are we looking at environmental toxins when we store excess fat? If we are exposed to toxins in our environment, we create fat to wall those off to protect ourselves. So there's a whole investigative loop that goes with that.
Right. So it's important to start with not blaming the individual for their weight, because there are a multitude of factors that are possible to have exacerbated or caused them to reach obesity.
Correct. Yeah, to me, it needs to start a conversation. And you know, in this day and age in medicine, one of the unfortunate things we see everywhere is this lack of time with an educated medical provider, because you're not going to ask questions. Somebody's going to tell you, like, well, just eat 1,200 calories and you need to exercise more. Well, I can tell you that that doesn't work for a lot of people. But that sometimes is the limit of the provider's knowledge. And when you only have 15 minutes or maybe 7 or 8 minutes with a patient face-to-face, it doesn't give you much time to start to investigate, like, wow, why? Like, what is going on? You know, where do you live? What kind of foods do you eat? You know, movement, what other potential exposures? You know, are you safe in your home? Like, all of those are all questions that need to be asked when we start to deal with this.
Right. It's like the health of the whole individual, their whole system health and psychological and mental health all impact what excess weight they may be carrying or not carrying.
Correct. Correct. Wow. Absolutely.
So when we think of obesity that is caused by metabolic syndrome, even if someone diets, does calorie restriction, unless they look at what they're eating, if they're still eating a diet high in simple carbohydrates, it's not going to address the underlying metabolic syndrome that would be causing the weight to stay on.
Correct. Yeah. And I mean, for all of us in general, like, avoiding a high sugar diet's a good, that's a good thing. And the other thing that's a really good thing is avoiding processed foods. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a fast food epidemic in this nation, you know, or in processed food, unfortunately.
Right. And sometimes it's the sugar or the excess fats or the kind of fats are in the foods, but it's also sometimes the packaging leaching plastics or other chemicals into your food.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I just attended the International Society for Environmentally Acquired Illness, and there was a talk about the BPA you're exposed to when you go get your fast food and they staple that receipt to the outside of the bag. That thermal paper has bisphenol A in there, so it's BPA in it. And when you just touch that for 2 seconds and then eat your fries, like, you can absorb in a ridiculous amount of BPA with that combination.
All right. I'm speechless. I mean, I'm careful when I go to the grocery store to minimize my handling of that receipt. But, you know, put it in the bag, go home, wash my hands before I touch my food and unpack.
Right.
Yeah.
But it really is amazing what happens, because there was a famous French fry study, and it was holding the thermal paper receipt and eating food. It was eating food after using a hand sanitizer. So this just defines the last 2.5 years and resulted in high urine levels of BPA.
Does hand sanitizer have BPA in it too, or it helps it stick to the skin better after you touch the receipt?
Well, what's going to happen is if there's high alcohol in there, it's basically breaking down your skin barrier. Like, most of the hand sanitizers, I hate to break it to people, are really bad for your skin.
Okay. We are.
So it's a double-edged sword.
So, and this may in some way contribute to obesity, which is our topic for today.
It can.
Yeah. Because
it does. We know in BPA, that increases the risk for diabetes too, and breast cancer, and prostate cancer, and colon cancer.
So wear gloves when you shop.
Right. And if you're a female or a male or whatever, you know what? Don't wear pantyhose, because BPA is in pantyhose too.
Oh, chill. Oh, chill. So I know you just went to that when we're pre-recording this show, and you went to that talk this morning, and we're talking about obesity, but you can see we've kind of gone off on a bit of a tangent here, which is very interesting.
It is, but it's the BPA is the number one obesogen. So okay. We have gone off on a tangent, but
you've brought it back. Awesome.
Plastic is a bad thing. BPA and plastic is a bad thing.
Right. And I guess that I started it with saying fast food's packaged in plastic.
Yeah, it is. And unless whatever merchant you're using, intentionally buys BPA-free thermal paper, mm-hmm. It's all got BPA.
Okay.
Like, the thermal paper in my office is BPA-free.
Okay.
Intentionally.
Okay, very good. So those vendors that have started texting receipts rather than printing out receipts are good for
great.
Our health. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And we're not, yeah, like, on multiple levels. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, my takeaway from today is I'm going to be even more careful about those receipts I get everywhere when I shop.
Yeah, I think it's wise. And certainly don't like lick your fingers after you touch them.
Touch the receipts. But they're so tasty. I love the taste of the BPA on my finger. No, I don't. I'm just joking now.
Right.
So to wrap up or come back to obesity, which could have multifactored cause, if people are able to do things like intermittent fasting has been shown to increase weight loss for people eating the same calories in a control group versus another group, or just reducing sugar, or perhaps both those things could help with metabolic health and weight loss.
Yeah, I would say definitely reducing sugar. There's probably a subset of people that would want to be careful with intermittent fasting. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like everything, like there's not entirely a one-size-fits-all, but one size that would fit all is the sugar and processed food. That would be the one thing that I would say, like, that across the board would help everyone.
Okay. And I encourage you listeners, if this is scary and overwhelming looking, just cut back a little bit on one kind of sugar each day. Just a little bit, you know. It's like drink water instead of juice, or have an apple instead of a candy bar. Just one small swap out and see how it goes, so that you don't, it can be overwhelming to do a big diet change.
Yeah, you know, I like to look at changes like that is trying to approach it by adding one desirable thing.
Okay.
And in essence, eventually then it will crowd out some of the, you know, less desirable things.
Okay.
So rather than, because we all have there's a whole mental thing around taking things away.
Okay.
And avoiding things. So less emphasis on avoiding, but maybe adding in, like if you like sweet things, like maybe add in a banana, add in some grapes, add in, even better, add in some berries or an apple. Think about adding that in before you would have that other thing. And
yeah.
And over time, you just may change your taste enough that is what you prefer eventually.
Right. And then whatever form of exercise you can get, walking for 2 minutes or 5 minutes or 10 minutes or even more, do that too.
Sure. Do like squats or push-ups against a wall.
Uh-huh.
Those things are all great things and things that we can use to activate and engage the larger muscle groups in our body are really, really helpful.
Right. And I guess the one last thing to help with lifestyle and weight management is getting good quality sleep.
Yeah, that's very important, because otherwise, yeah, like that plays a role in all that fat deposition if we are chronically not getting enough sleep, which is many, many people.
Right. All right. So, wow, interesting discussion. Dr. Jill, thanks very much. Any parting words, I fear to say?
No, I would, number one thing, drink lots of water. If you can improve your hydration, number one thing you can do. After that, try and limit sugar and fast food and processed food.
Okay, thanks. Have a good week.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.